I have the privilege of sharing with you this morning. But I want to ask if our children, could they stay for just a moment? Would that be all right? Could they sit right up front here? Would that be all right? Could the big people, you know, move back just a little bit and ask the young people, could you sit right here in the front? Praise God, right here in the front. Okay, because I brought a surprise for them this morning. Is that all right? Praise God, I brought a surprise for you this morning. And, you know, I didn't know that we were going to have so many young people here. Let's give them all a hand this morning. Would that be all right? Hallelujah. Yeah. Is that good? Okay. Praise God. I know you're recording, and so I'm going to set that right there. Praise God, and that'll be great. And so if you would you please share slide number one? Praise God. And we are Harrell Family Missions, and we're the founders of the Children's Gift Ministry. So see, these are our three children. Thank you so much, Easley First Assembly of God, for your prayers and partnership for your missionaries. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So among other things that we do in Honduras, we're the founders of the Children's Gift Ministry. We do kids' crusades. Somebody say kids' crusades. They are so excited. So children and youth in many parts of Honduras are very poor. They struggle. They've never owned a new pair of shoes. They've never owned a Bible of their own, hygiene items, school supplies. And so we started there in 2007. And we didn't know exactly what God was going to call us to do. What we saw were the needs of the children. It stood out to us. And we said, how can we make a difference? And so we believe in putting a fence around the top of the mountain instead of an ambulance at the bottom. We reach them when they're children. We don't wait until they get older and they're all messed up. We try to reach them when they're kids. We thank God for all these other programs that help them when they're older. Why not reach them when they're children? And so through your partnership, one of the things that we started, you know, to do was the gift bag program. It's kind of like shoe boxes where, you know, the churches, they pack items and they send them to Honduras. And we share them with the children. And we do kids' crusades. And so one of the things that we love to do when we have the praise and worship, skits and dramas, we've established, you know, teams over the years. And then when it comes time, the Spirit of God is moving. And then I get to come up and I get to share a word with our children and our youth. And I tell them, I say, you know what? I want to ask you a question. How much are you worth? Have you ever thought about it when you're looking in the mirror and you think, what's my real value? How much have I worth? Have you ever heard of a parent, you know, they say to their child, that child, they're just worthless. They're never going to amount to anything. Isn't that terrible? You know, some children have actually had to hear that. How many know that adults are just big kids too? And the enemy is always screaming at us and saying, you're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to fulfill your goals. You're never going to have that legacy that you've always hoped you'd had. You know what? The devil is a liar. We do have value. So how much are you worth? Have you ever thought about that? Well, you might be surprised. In Central America, we have a lot of crime, and you know, we have gang violence and people trafficking and arms trafficking. We have an ugly thing called organ harvesting. You might be surprised how much you're worth if you were to add your whole self up on the black market. But you're worth even more than that. So what I want to share with you here this morning is that you're more than just a bag of dirt. There are some people who they believe that you're born, you die, and that's all there is to it. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. But that's not true, is it? Because what does the Bible say? It said God made man out of the dust of the earth, but then he breathed into him the breath of life. And they became a living soul. Okay, so when did we become? When did we come into existence? When God breathed into us that breath of life, that's when we became. So you're not just a bag of dirt. You are a living soul, a spirit that will live forever, either in heaven or in hell. So that's what we need to ask ourselves. Have we got any dirt in the house this morning? Yeah. Anybody here born in sin? Everybody has been born in sin. But you know what? The question is, how much is your dirt worth? And when I open this bag right here, that smells so bad. How many want to smell it? No. Wise decision. And, you know, the Lord sees all of our dirt. He sees our sins, our mistakes. He sees the times that we lied, that we stole, all of our sins. We were born in sin. And even though He sees all of that, He sees a worth in us that sometimes we don't even see in ourselves. And, you know, sometimes we try, to save ourselves. You could wash this rag a million times in Clorox bleach, and our righteousness would still be as filthy rags. But, you know, the Lord, He sees underneath of all of our sin. I want you to watch this now. I want you to watch it. He sees under all of our sin, and He sees a worth in us. You are a jewel in the eyes of God. He's making diamonds out of dust. He's making diamonds out of us. And, you know, we need to see ourselves from God's side of the sky. When He looks down and He sees us, He loves us. I want you to reach your finger up and say, God loves me. How does that make you feel? God loves me. And I believe, and I've seen this as a missionary, wherever you go, what people struggle with humans, what they struggle with, is really believing and knowing how much God truly loves them. Have you ever seen somebody when they're in love, maybe a young lady, who got engaged and she's just, I'm in love. She's, Or that young man, he's walking into the walls and people, what's wrong with him? Oh, he's in love. That's how we should be for Jesus. The world looks at us and says, what's wrong with that church? What's wrong with them? Oh, they're just in love. They're in love with Jesus. No matter what happens, nothing is able to get them down. Even though there's a lot of problems, if the church was as in love with Jesus as He is with His church, if we were as excited for His coming as He is to come for His bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, hallelujah, one day He will. We need to be ready. Amen? And how can you be ready? Realizing how much He loves you. Remember this. You are not a body. You're more than just a bag of dirt. You have a body, but you are not a body. You could not choose your parents, and you won't be able to choose your children. You could not choose your color, and you could not choose your height or your eye color, We're more than just a bag of dirt. We're more than a body. We have a body, but we are a living soul, a spirit. So instead of complimenting our kids and saying, oh, she's so cute, she's such a pretty little girl, he's such a handsome little man, what we ought to focus on instead of the exterior is the person. They're so well-educated. They're so well-mannered. They have respect. They have courtesy. They have integrity. They love. That's the real you. But, so many people nowadays, they take selfies from way up here and they post them. And they get depressed if they don't have enough likes on social media because they have the mistaken idea that their value is in their body. But your value is not in your body. Where's your value? How can you know how much you are worth? You want to know how you can know? Do you want to know how much you can know? Look to the cross. Look to the cross and see Jesus. He stretched out His arms this much. He said, I love you this much. And then He died. He left heaven. He came to earth. He died and rose again. And He did all that for us. And he says, you are worth that. That's what you're worth. We will never really know how much we are worth. But we know Jesus loves us. He loves us so much. So whenever you get sad or you get mad or you feel like you want to be bad, remember Jesus loves you and you are a jewel in his sight. And when you start to understand just how much God loves you, you know what? Watch this now. Watch this. When you understand how much he loves you, it makes you want to give your heart to Jesus. Would you close your eyes right now? And if you feel the Holy Spirit is touching your heart and you want to give your heart to Jesus, maybe you have sin, maybe you've done some things that are bad, and you want to ask Jesus to forgive you. If you want to give your heart to Jesus, would you just lift up your hand right now and say, Jesus, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life. I want to be saved. If that's you this morning, wherever you're at, would you just say this prayer in your heart, with all your heart? Will you say, Lord Jesus, I am so sorry for all my sin. I ask for your forgiveness. And I thank you that you died on the cross and there's power in your blood to save me, to forgive me, and to give me new life in Jesus Christ. I receive your forgiveness, and by faith, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. So here we are in this kids' crusade in Honduras. And there's probably, you know, about 200 or 300 kids here. And I have about 30 kids up here, you know, who have given their life to Christ. And we say, congratulations, all these children that gave their lives to Jesus. Now we're going to celebrate with juices and cookies. Yay! And they get all happy. And then I say, but before you go, I want you to take a pledge. We're going to take a solemn oath before the Lord. We're going to make a promise. And I say, raise your right hand. Raise up your right hand and say, Lord Jesus, I promise. And you say, I promise I'll never be a drug addict. I'll never be an alcoholic. I'll never be a gang member. I will serve you, Lord. And goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Thank you very much. You've experienced a little bit, a part of what a kids crusade is in Honduras. Now, if you'd like to go, praise God. You can go to your class now if you want to. But how many would like to touch the heart of the missionary? Yeah? Praise God. There are thousands of children all over Honduras who have touched the heart of the missionary. And I always say, you know, when you touch the heart of the missionary, you're touching the heart of God. Always remember, Jesus loves you. God bless you. Amen. Oh, thank you for letting them stay in that part of the service. Thank you so much. And you may be dismissed to your class. Praise God. Amen. Isn't that fun? We pinch ourselves every day. We say, wow, we get to do this. This is what we get to do. Praise the Lord. So when we first went to Honduras and we were having these kids' crusades, we said, wow, here we are and we're living in the city of San Pedro Sula, Honduras. And then we realized, we're living in a murder capital of the world. You can go back and Google that, 2014. It was really bad because of the gang violence and everything. And we said, Lord, what in the world am I doing here? I got a wife and I got three children and I'm living in this city where there's so much violence and all of the gangs and everything. And so we're having a kids' crusade on the back road. And all of a sudden it dawned on us, why aren't these children in school? And one of the parents spoke up and said, well, school is free in Honduras, but if they don't have their school supplies, they cannot attend. And it was like a blind spot was removed. And we understood then that there are so many families that are so poor they can't afford school supplies. And so their children are left on the streets, and the gangs, they take advantage of that. They recruit the kids who can't afford to go to school, and they recruit them into their gangs, and they teach them how to commit extortion and murder, and the cycle of violence continues. So what do we do as missionaries? We pray. We say, Lord, help us. Show us what it is that we can do to make a difference in your kingdom. How can we fulfill the Great Commission? We pray, and then we call our pastors. And we say, hello, Pastor. Thank you so much, you and your congregation, for your prayers and your monthly mission support. You keep us on the field. Thank you so much. But you know what? Now we have a special project. We just learned that if children, if they don't have school supplies, they can't attend. So in 2011, we called our pastors and raised $3,000. So we went to the local store and we got a quote and we got a backpack with the notebooks and all the supplies that are required to go to school, and we found them is about $10 a piece. So school starts in February in Honduras. So in January we had a kids crusade with 300 kids, and all 300 kids received their school supplies, and 85 gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, they were in the altars. The Holy Spirit was ministering, because where the kids come from, it's really rough. When we have our teams, you know, come down to Honduras, we take them into places that they've never seen the kind of poverty that there is. Now, Honduras is beautiful. The whole world is beautiful. How many know the world would be perfect if it wasn't for people? The whole world is beautiful. And, you know, Honduras has mountains and the beaches, has rivers, has waterfalls, has caves, has a lot of natural, you know, resources. But the government has been so corrupt for so many years, and the education and the poverty and the violence and the gang, it's just held the people, you know, down. But Honduras people, they are hungry for God. They are so hungry in revival, and we are so thankful that the Lord has used us over these 18 years as missionaries, and it's you, it's your prayers. So thank you, Pastor Lisa, for scheduling me, you know, to share with you a little bit of a vision into what you pray for and what you support every month. You might not know this. This is what we do, a part of what we do. And so, you know, when we had that first kids crusade, you know, we said, that's pretty cool. Well, let's do this next year. And so we started to form a team. And that next year, we reached 400 kids. 135 got saved, all received backpacks. The next year, 500 kids. And there 165 got saved. And we have all this documented on our YouTube channels and on our Facebook. You can go visit us. And by the way, we want to make sure that everybody receives a prayer card on your way out this morning, please. We appreciate your prayers, and we need that covering. And so then we said, well, we can't have more than 500 kids, like one kids crusade, because that's hard. Even though, like, we had, I believe it was 2,000 kids in a soccer stadium one time. But the norm is around, you know, 200 to 300 on average. But that next year, we were able to reach 2,600 kids in 12 locations. That's when we had to, you know, establish our team. And so then it kept growing every year, until we started to receive containers. We built a children's gift ministry warehouse. And now, watch this. This is so exciting. Last year was the sixth year in a row, and if you'll show slide number two, please, that we reached, through the Back to Classes with Jesus program, 30,000 children in 200 locations across the country. Wow! Woo! Glory to God! Now, if I were you, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to this missionary, and you're thinking, how can one missionary family reach 30,000 children in 200 locations in one year? Really? Like, really? And this is where I love to share with you how we do that. We receive these containers. And as a matter of fact, just about 6 weeks ago, we received our containers, two containers, and they're filled with school supplies for the Back to Class with Jesus program. And this year, we are going to be able to reach for the seventh year in a row 30,000 kids in over 200 locations. And we do that because we have leaders over the regions, over the zones, over the sections, and on the local level. And we have trained them. And now we, you know, have this team. And we have a young man whose name is Alex. And his number is on the material. And everyone who participates must send him, through WhatsApp. There's five things that anyone who participates in this program have to send about their event. They send, the date, the place, how many attended, how many got saved, and a picture of the event. So now I can show you in a Google Doc every event that we had last year. I can show you, the date, the place, how many attended, how many got saved, and the picture. So it's all verifiable. It's real. Praise God. And the awesome part is when you crunch the numbers, on average, of 20% are giving their lives to Jesus Christ. 20%. And so this is how together we are changing a nation through salvation and education. Hallelujah. This is your fruit. I want you to think about this. It's not what those missionaries over there are doing. Yes, they come, they share, and they leave. Okay, but don't forget about us. We are your missionaries. It's not what those missionaries over yonder are doing. No, it's what we are doing together with our missionaries. This is your fruit. I wish we could have brought a red cape for every one of you. Why? Because you are our superheroes. Really, we mean that. We wouldn't be able to go to the mission field if it was not for our local churches. We wouldn't have the covering for safety and anointing and for favor that we depend on as missionary. You don't realize how valuable you are. You are the churches that send missionaries all over the world. Now, we know that the United States was once a godly nation. It was, it was founded on godly principles and God we trust, one nation under God. Since the 1960s especially, a lot of evil has infiltrated our government and into our laws, and a lot of lawlessness and a lot of godlessness. And a lot of people have wondered, why hasn't judgment fallen? Why hasn't judgment fallen? I've heard people say, well, if God does not judge the United States of America, then he's going to have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah out of the ashes and apologize to her. I don't know. But you know what? I believe that there are so many Christians. There is a remnant in the United States that is praying, that's interceding, and they're blessed to be a blessing. They recognize that the United States, the Lord is still using and still has mercy and is using all of the blessings and the riches of the United States to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God is merciful, and he loves, for God so loved the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, this is your fruit, and we want you to celebrate it. We want you to think about the team that we had who went into the jungle, the week before last. So my wife and I and our family have been in the United States now since last June. We are here for 1 year, and we're on the mission field for 4 years. So missionaries in the Assemblies of God, we serve for 4 years, in our country, and we come home and we try to raise our budget. So we were supposed to go back in June. We haven't raised our budget yet because of the economy, or, it takes a long time to raise your budget. And so we're hoping to get back. We're almost there. We're so close. And so we're hoping to get back in September or October. How many will pray with us and believe that we'll raise our budget to get back to Honduras? I'll pray for the rest of you. Now, come on now. Praise God. Help us pray. We value your prayers. We appreciate your prayers. As the Holy Spirit leads you, we thank you for obeying the Lord as he lays us on your heart. And so, why do we come and share with you? So we can share with you the fruit. And hey, let's celebrate what God is doing together. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate this. And so that team went into the jungle. And slide number three, one of the things that we also do is we're church planters and builders. So far, God has been able to bless us to build 35 churches in Honduras. We stay busy all the time. I don't know if you can tell. I'm just a little bit hyper. I'm a little bit passionate. We love what we do. Praise God. Maybe a lot, right? We love what we do, and we love to share with you what we do, how we do it, but most of all, why we do it. Because we love God and we love people. We want to serve God. We love to serve our churches who are missions-minded, and they realize that their prayers and their support are reaching souls around the world. They're reaching children and youth, helping them to be able to get off of the streets, out of the reach of the gangs, into school, and connected with local churches. And if they don't have a church, what? One of the saddest things that I've ever seen as a missionary, as a minister, is when you go into a village, a place, a mountainous area, or out in the jungle, or an island, anywhere where there is no church, where there's no presence of the gospel. All there is in darkness is witchcraft and voodoo. There's superstition and false religion. Now, they're sincere in their beliefs. I think sometimes they're more sincere than some Christians are. And they have real needs. They have crises. And when they do, they cry out to their gods. But their false gods never hear them. They cry out, they sacrifice, and they cry, and they cry, and they cry. But their false god never, ever hears them and never answers them. How sad is that? But when we come in as your missionaries, we come in and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they call upon the name of the Lord, as it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a promise for all people, everywhere, in every tribe, every nation, every tongue, in every time in human history. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that word, salvation, in the Greek is sozo. It means salvation for the soul, healing for the body, and deliverance for the mind and spirit. It's a holistic gospel. And so what happens is when you go into these villages, into these places of darkness, and you win a soul, you win a family, you start a nucleus of the church, and they begin to pray. It's like striking a match, lighting a light, and it drives out the darkness, because now you have those who are praying in the name of Jesus, and God uses them. He hears their prayers. He answers their prayers. They're praying now to a God that responds and heals, and so now they're winning souls. Where there was darkness, where people were afraid to go out, you know, after dark, where there was incest and murder and rape and theft, now people are getting saved and conviction. Are you with me this morning? Now there is a praying church, and there's conviction, and conscience comes back into people. They don't understand why I feel bad about doing these things now. I used to be, it didn't bother me, but now it does. It's because that community now has a covering of prayer. Church planting and building is so important, because we go into communities where there was only darkness, and it brings light into the darkness. This is what your missionaries, this is what we get to do. Praise God. I got saved at Cedar Lane Assembly of God right here in Greenville, South Carolina, January the 5th of 1992. If Gordon Moore was here, he would tell you that he's known me my whole life ever since I've been a Christian, and I was 21 years old. And I come up under the ministry of Betty Haynes, a woman pastor who loved God, was anointed, and the Lord knew that I needed a spiritual mama. Praise God. And, you know, I used to go to the revivals with Lowell Haynes, and I attended revivals where Lowell Haynes had preached right here in this church. And he would stand right here in the pulpit, and he'd go, "Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody go ahead and run the aisle one time." Praise God. And he preached, and I attended, those revivals under John Sisk. And then I met my wife after I was an evangelist about 6 years, and then we became pastors. And we moved to West Columbia, and then we pastored for about 6 years, and then we went to the mission field, and we've been on the mission field now for over 18 years. And our children, you know, they came back with us, and now one's working, one's in Bible college, and one just graduated. And so when we go back to the mission field in a few months, we're going to be going back as empty nesters. It's kind of a mixed bag, right? Praise God. We're going to start realizing how we feel when we get back to the field. But this is what we love to do. We love to do the children's gift ministry. We love to do the church planting and building, and we see the differences. You know, churches start, they start under that little you saw in the last slide where they start where they have nothing. They're either under a tree, or on a porch, or, you know, sometimes it's just out in the open, and they grow, right? And then we'll come in and we'll help them. Okay, now this is what we just sent into the jungle. You see that structure right there? For $1,500, we're able to send that structure. It provides a roof and a floor. It's about 20 by 32, and it seats about 55 people, and we send chairs to. So they dedicate that as the house of the Lord. For $1,500, we provide a house of worship. And then they minister to that community. They grow in that, you know, for 2 or 3 years. And then they're able to purchase a piece of land, and we'll come back and we'll help them, you know, to build a permanent church. And they dedicate that. And they come up to us and they say, "Thank you, missionaries. Thank you so much." And we say, "Don't thank us." We say, "Thank God." And thank our donors, our churches who support us each month. They make possible us staying on the field and the support of special projects. If it wasn't for you, you might not think your faithfulness to church is that important. Let me tell you, there are people around the world who are depending on you, on your faithfulness. And you know what else? You are also a soul winner. Did you know that? Yes. Every Christian is a soul winner. It's not every Christian should be or every Christian could be. No. Every Christian is a soul winner. The way that you live and you speak, you may be the only Bible somebody ever reads. And so we need to have that same urgency. Why? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And we have responsibility. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as you win souls and you invite people to Christ and invite them to church, you help to grow the church. Amen? Help grow the church. Somebody say, "Help grow the church." Help grow the church. This is what we're here to do. Right here, across the street, and around the world, we're establishing the Church of Jesus Christ, and this is the Great Commission. And it is a great commission because it's the commission of Jesus Christ. He commissioned us. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And it is a co-mission. Now, have you ever thought about this? It is a co-mission. It's between God and us and the local church and our missionaries. So we're getting ready to go back for 4 more years. How many would like to go with us? Praise the Lord. Wonderful. I'll pray for the rest of you. No, I'm kidding. That's okay. You know why? That's not your call. That's our call. So some are called to go, and some are called to send. We're all called to pray. Praise God. So we're here to share with you here this morning. You know, once every 5 years, we get to come to a local church. Once every 5 years, and share with you what your prayers and partnership are accomplishing. Now, you can stay in touch with us. You can, you know, like sign up and receive our newsletters. Or if you go on Facebook, you can see in real time, you know, the events that we had last week, or the church that we're planting, or the village that we went into. It's really exciting. Stay up to date with what you are doing, not what those missionaries over there are doing, what I am doing together with our missionaries. You know, because missions, whose idea is it? Is it man's idea? No. Is missions the church's idea? No. Missions is God's idea. It's the heartbeat of God. And Jesus, He commissioned us to go. And so Jesus is the head. We are the body. And He's reaching through His body. The Holy Spirit is the central nervous system. He saved me right here in Greenville, South Carolina. He called me and He sent me right from here. Hallelujah. And so now we're going to go back. Y hemos aprendido español. I've learned Spanish. And I translate. Yo puedo ir y yo predico en español. Gloria a Dios. Aleluya. I have this privilege to be able to go and translate and preach in Spanish. And I know the culture. And sometimes they say, wow, you speak better Spanish than I do. And I say, no way. You know, you're a native. And they said, no, your Spanish is really great. And I'm like, well, that is a gift from God. Trust me, because I can't even hardly speak English, you know, that good. But, you know, God has given us that. It's a part of who we are in the call of God. And it's an honor to be your arms extended. Okay, but could you imagine a pair of arms, you know, just flopping out there with no body? Ew. Could you imagine a body with no arms? Couldn't reach very far. Okay, but together, we are changing a nation through salvation and education. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's so much I could share with you this morning about what we do and how we do it. You know what? How do you condense 18 years of ministry, of fruitful ministry, into one video? As we get this ready, I hope you enjoy this. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Harold Family Mission wants to say thank you for your heart for missions and for us as missionaries serving in the country of Honduras. Because of passionate missions partners, Ken and Grisella Harold have been able to serve as fruitful full-time missionaries for over 17 years with our three children, Kenny, Victor, and Angelina. In 2009, the Harold family founded the Children's Gift Ministry and its various outreaches like Kids Crusades that reach tens of thousands across the country each year. Children and youth hear the gospel and are blessed with a snack, a gift bag, and on average, a 20% who attend give their lives to Jesus Christ. The Children's Gift Ministry Gift Bag Program, where churches pack and send hygiene items, toys, and Bibles that are also distributed at evangelism events where children give their lives to Jesus. We love sharing with you the videos of the smiling children hugging your gift bag saying, thank you. Since 2012, the Children's Gift Ministry Backpack Program has been getting children and youth off of the streets, out of the reach of the gangs, and into school. This is the sixth year in a row that generous partners are helping us reach 30,000 children in over 200 locations across Honduras. Equip Conferences for Children's Pastors and Workers is the discipleship program of the Children's Gift Ministry that has trained new children's pastors and workers in 1,400 churches across the country. They are now actively involved in reaching and discipling children and youth in their own communities. The Harrell family founded Church Planting and Building Honduras Initiatives for indigenous peoples in the inner cities, rural areas, mountainous villages, islands, and even in the jungles. So far, generous partners have helped us to plant and or build over 30 churches. This gets congregations out from under a tree or off the porch, out of the sun and the rain, and under a roof that is dedicated as the house of God and reaches the community in so many ways. The Harrell family are the in-country coordinators for World Missionary Press, receiving shipping containers through the Children's Gift Ministry Warehouse and distributing millions of scripture booklets that supply a network of ministries with the Word of God year after year. It would be impossible to accomplish all this on our own, so the Lord has blessed us with a great national leadership team. Some we have been working with for over 15 years. Our local volunteer logistics team of 150 helps us in the Children's Gift Ministry Warehouse, unloading containers and ministering in various outreaches. Nationally, our network of 3,500 participates in regional, sectional, and local area events, maximizing our mission's impact of reaching more souls for the kingdom of God. All of this is how together we are changing a nation through salvation and education. Your monthly missions pledge is so important. It allows us to continue in country, developing and overseeing all of these fruitful ministry programs. Also, would you please consider a very generous special projects offering? This enables us to continue these evangelism, discipleship, church planting, and building ministries for the next 4 years that we will serve in country. Please remember to pick up your Children's Gift Ministry prayer or business card if you are attending a service today. We truly appreciate you and thank you for your heart for missions and for the Harrell family, your missionaries to Honduras. God bless you.